My guests for the first half of the show today are Heather Roan Robbins, the longtime astrologer for Pasatiempo. She's going to be on the phone with us from Minneapolis, and Mary Lynn LeBlanc, KSFR's own resident astrologer and host of the show Moonwise. Mary Lynn's also the program manager of talk shows, and I think maybe she takes out the trash as well over there.
A little bit of everything. Thanks, Hollis.
Welcome. Mm-hmm. Have we got Heather there?
Yes, you do. Hello.
What's the weather like up there in Minneapolis this morning, Heather?
It's minus 10 before wind chill.
Ouch. I am not complaining.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's kind of exciting. It's warmer than North Dakota, where I live for 3 years on the Canadian border. And then I have to remember there's a whole country north of us.
That's right.
So.
Yeah, it was 16 in my house when I got up this morning, but that's not so bad as
it's
minus
nippy.
10. So we're going to talk this morning about what astrology suggests is in store for us this year. But First, I want everybody to know a little bit about each of you and your connection to astrology. Heather, tell us, why don't you, your background.
I've been an astrologer for about 40 years. I made my first astrological calendar, dividing the year up by months, when I was 11. My father is an abstract mathematician. My mother's a psychiatric nurse. You put him in a blender, you get an astrologer. And I've carried my ephemeris with me everywhere. I've managed to do a lot of human resource work over the years, which gave me the chance to have a giant petri dish and watch people unfold and interact, watching their charts.
Uh-huh.
And I've been writing the column for Pasatiempo for 20 years now, every week I look at the week ahead, and then I see what actually happens, which has been very powerful feedback for me.
Yeah. So, yeah, once upon a time, I was your editor at Pasatiempo many moons
ago. Yes, you were.
Yeah. And, of course, I didn't understand what it meant when you said Uranus conjunct Scorpio or whatever and I don't now. So I'm relying on you guys to tell everybody what's happening.
Thanks.
Mary Lynn, I know some things about you. A, I know you're a brainiac. And B, I know you were once a Dominican nun. How did you get to be an astrologer?
How did I get to be an astrologer? Well, you know, the thing about astrology that a lot of people forget is that the Catholic Church actually was the biggest teacher and proponent of the use of astrology up until the Reformation time. So,
wow.
Yes. So, you know, there is no surprise there in some ways. I'm sure many of us who are astrologers say that it's a mini-lifetime profession that actually takes a lot of time to really get into the groove of it. And many of us, I know Heather would say this, but we know we've done this in other incarnations. We've done this before. It's very familiar. But basically, I had already left the Catholic Church when I became a practicing astrologer and was actually working on a doctoral degree at Berkeley when I got into astrology big time, and just one of my emeritus professors, he's no longer with us, but a laureate and everything, you know, his comments about astrology really encouraged me because he thought it was just an absolute perfect system.
Really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yes.
Wow. So, just to get started, is there any particular one astrological event or any big thing that's going to happen this year that's going to affect a lot of things?
Well, it's an ongoing process. I know Mary Lynn, I love working with Mary Lynn. It's good to hear you on the share the show with you, Mary.
Same here.
Uranus and Pluto have been forming a right angle and challenging us, deconstructing much of our lives for the last 3 years. Since 2012 through 2015, these two planets we most associate with change, upheaval, revolution, and excitement have been challenging other at right angles. And now these two planets came to conjunct the last time that they had a major relationship to each other in 1965 to 1968, right in the heart of the civil rights movement,
wow,
the women's rights movement, the huge political and social change. And this is the first time we've been in that form of astrological upheaval since then. And it's exciting because so much change can happen in a short period of time. I think about the Right to Marry Act going across the country how much faster it happened than we would imagine. But if you ask any group of people, is your life exactly the same as it was 3 years ago? They all start laughing.
That's interesting. Yeah, the idea that things happen faster in that circumstance, because the same is true, not just a right to marry, but also in terms of marijuana legislation. Who thought things would be changing as rapidly as they seem to be?
And when this aspect first hit, we saw it echoing in the political upheaval in other parts of the world. You know, so, and the question of use and abuse of power, Pluto in Capricorn, versus Uranus in Aries, this rebellious insistence that we be free and we evolve and we push forward. But it's also almost a militant insistence, which we've seen around the globe. There's real tension there between these two planets. But it wasn't in America until these two planets begin to affect the chart of America, the July 4th, you know, mythic birth of America, this starting about last June. And now it's really coming into the American chart, and we're seeing it in American politics.
Wow. So Mary Lynn, let me ask you, what do you think that portends for American politics? I mean, who's going to run for office?
Well, I think it's calling for the total makeover of our government. We've already seen how there's a shift from the federal government. Everybody's saying, you know, the polls are saying it even, that most of the population, the majority of over 70% of the American public, think that our federal government is totally dysfunctional and disregarding it. And where's the action happening? It's happening at the local level. And this is the beginning of the major, major shifts that we will see in the way that we're governed here in this country. Our government, per se, I mean, you know, when I have my political affiliations, and you get extremely upset with some of these elections, especially the recent ones where the turnout was so low, and it looks like those people who support the plutocracy that we have become are in power.
That's Pluto and Capricorn speaking.
Right, right. But in fact, I think it's all part of the setup for a huge people revolt.
So is this a revolutionary, huge change? Is this continuing in this year, in 2015?
Oh, yes.
Yes. And again, like when you think back to 1965 to 1968, the change didn't stop there, but we had all the issues on the table, and then it took another 5 years that we worked them through. But the aspects, you know, in the next few weeks, it's more about getting organized and planning our own lives and planning our connections. Then there's a relatively quiet spell, but starting about February 20th, thereabouts, Venus and Mars enter Aries at the same time, and they begin to run close to Uranus for the next few weeks. I think it's going to be a very politically and personally exciting springtime. And then by the end of the year, the need to deconstruct begins to calm down, and new forms are beginning to form. I'm not going to set in stone, but any changes that we want to see in our lives, whether it's politics or our personal habits or our relationships or our work, the more we can move them, use this kind of restless energy to move them into a good place this spring, and then watch them begin to solidify or grow form in the fall. And we want that form to be a good one. So it's important that we stay involved in our lives, in our politics, and just keep moving in a good direction this year.
Now, the two signs that these two planets are in, Capricorn and Aries, have a lot to do with leadership. And when we saw Occupy Wall Street, which was at the beginning of this exact kind of entry into a new phase of the cycle, we kept wondering, well, you know, where's some leadership going to arise? And the thing is how we've looked at leadership in the past is we're being asked to reconsider that and actually each of us take charge of the leader in us for however that says, to come to our own authentic selves, to make decisions mm-hmm. based on ourselves. And it's not so much about the leader as it is about all of us saying, yes, this is the right thing. There are differences, yes, mm-hmm. but this is the right thing. And I can't help but think about one of the things that we've seen repeatedly, and that's the violence, the guns in schools, the killing of innocents, the racist issues that have come up again, and the violence involved in that. And that violence will only come to an end when each of us find, I mean, it's sort of like mm-hmm. you, sort of like the critical mass theory, you know, where you really have to have enough people realize that even though we have this constitution that says people have a right to have guns, it's not written in stone the way it's interpreted. There are changes that are needed, but those changes will only come when enough people come to the realization that this can no longer be, or enough people just stop owning guns, period. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what the laws are.
Right. Yeah, so, but in the near future, this year, do you think we're going to see more violence because of this deconstructing aspect?
I'd be surprised if we didn't.
Right. And there's an intensity, and, you know, if that intensity has an outlet, if people feel truly heard, then it doesn't hit the boiling point. In relationships, how important it's going to be to take turns and really hear one another this spring. Because if we don't feel heard, we will tend to walk out. Mm-hmm. But if we do feel heard and we feel like change is in progress, we can stay in there through thick and thin. So and I think this with politics, if I was to speak to the leaders, I would say, give formats for people to feel truly heard and that what they are saying will be considered deeply and new changes will be in the works. And that takes the power out.
You know,
that takes the sting. But if we don't feel heard, the intensity erupts really quickly, mm-hmm. whether it's on a personal level, in an organization, or on the group level.
Jump in, Marilyn.
Yeah, well, one of the other things about the energies we're talking about right now, the Uranus, Pluto, is if we go back to the 60s, another thing that happened in this regard, this is relating to the Catholic Church since you brought it up. This was when I left the Catholic Church, actually, in the mid-60s when this kind of thing erupted. And that is that, you know, we had the Second Vatican Council, the Pope John the 23rd said it's time to open the windows and really look at seriously
right.
that there are many paths to God.
Right.
And at that point in time, there was a grand exodus
from
the Catholic Church, a grand exodus from the clergy, from religious people in the church, and probably more so because that pope didn't get enough time on the planet to, he just started the work or whatever. Mm-hmm. But what we see today with Pope Francis is that theme of ecumenism coming back around again. There are many issues that he still hasn't addressed, like women's rights, which was another thing that stirred its head up in the 60s.
Yep.
And it actually had started, the suffrage movement started with the previous cycle back in 1848, with women's suffrage.
Susan B. Anthony and Elizabeth Cady
Another whole thing, and it's interesting that even when it comes to the religious element of these energies clashing, that people are saying it's time for women to be able to be ordained fully as priests in the church. And yet, you know, there's still that resistance. And that's part of the tension that I know Heather has been speaking about so eloquently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so interesting. I was going to bring up the Pope and say, because he is sort of emblematic of that kind
of
revolutionary change. I mean, people knew he was likely to be more liberal because he was from South America,
et cetera,
but nobody had any idea. And now,
and it's a wonderful example of how easy revolution can be if we look at the possibilities, if we open our minds to possibilities.
Right. So I want to also talk about money in the economy. And I know you can't tell us which stocks to invest in or whether or not to invest, but
we would have different lives ourselves.
A friend of mine on Facebook last week posted, is anybody besides me nervous about the price of gas dropping so precipitously? And myself and a lot of other people said, well, yeah, because whenever there's such a sudden change in such a central issue in our economy, it makes me nervous. It makes me think something's up and big change is about to happen. What does astrology portend?
Well, the American dollar is doing remarkably well around the globe, and it's really shifting, suddenly getting much stronger. That's one reason why you're seeing the change in oil price. But one of the use, when we talk about the use and abuse of power with Pluto in Capricorn and Uranus in, Uranus is also, we think of as electricity. We first became conscious of Uranus during the Industrial Revolution. And I'm hoping that this Uranus-Pluto square and the Saturn-Neptune square this year help us really look at how we, the literal power, oil, gas, nuclear power, and see if we can find a revolution within that and find new ways of getting power. And that take a look at that metaphor, play with it anywhere in your lives. Mm. What are new, healthy ways of finding power and being empowered?
You know, Heather, you mentioned the Saturn-Neptune, because that's where my mind went with your question, Alice. This is a cycle that's coming into, it's a square relationship as well, but it's a last quarter square. It's the end of a cycle that began in the sign of Capricorn. And these energies of Neptune and Saturn together are about dissolving structures that no longer work, that are no longer of need, and creating a new one. And we had, talk about an icon, we had the collapse of the Berlin Wall at the beginning of this particular cycle.
And that was really a dissolving a wall.
Right.
Saturn-Neptune.
Now, Saturn is in the sign of Sagittarius, which, among other things, has to do with long-distance travel. And Saturn has a way of defining things, and when we define things, we limit them. And so what it says to me is that in some ways our travel will be curtailed, even though there's this boom right now of, oh my gosh, you know, maybe I should take a road trip or something. But, you know, my question is this really just an illusion? Because we really do need to get off of fossil fuels if we care about the life of this planet.
I
also see Saturn-Neptune as bringing up, I know there's recently a series on NPR, or National Public Television, saying that, you know, organized religions are really decreasing in the people coming to them, but spiritual pilgrimages are increasing, that the search for spiritual practice that fits our soul has intensified since Neptune went into Pisces a few years ago. And Neptune moving into Pisces, the last time Neptune was in Pisces, and it's going to be there about a decade, a little over a decade, last time it was in Pisces began the spiritualist movement here in America, many other transcendental movements that were about feeding the hunger to connect to the more. And right now, Neptune and Pisces, with all this political upheaval, there's still a deep search for something magical, something more. And Saturn squaring is asking us to find disciplines, spiritual disciplines that support that, but also brings up this the doubting side of us that, you know, the in quotes, the reality police, which Saturn can be, the doubting side of us to our spiritual side, and see if we can find something that honors both our rigorous thinking and our spiritual hunger, and find new forms for us that work. And I think that's also part of an ongoing theme this year.
You know, talking too about the spirituality aspect of Neptune, some of us astrologers here in Santa Fe had an event called Cosmic Perspectives on 2015. And Jason Hawley talked about Neptune and the power of imagery and our spirituality in a very, very strong emotional sense. Jason is a psychotherapist here in Santa Fe. And that podcast actually is available on our website if people want to know more about the spiritual aspect. You just go to ksfr.org, on the homepage, there's a connection to all the podcasts. Connect that. Look at Moonwise. Click that. And under Moonwise, look for the title Cosmic Perspectives. And
Cosmic Perspectives.
Right. Because just there's so much about Neptune. You know, it's a watery planet and a watery sign, which brings up lots of imagery. And one of the things that was talked about that we've noticed about this transit of Neptune into Pisces after having been in the technological sign of Capricorn is that we are becoming more and more an image-based world. Mm. And this makes me think about Leonard Schlein, the late author,
yes,
who passed away about three, four years ago.
It was wonderful.
Yeah, the alphabet and the goddess, in
yes,
which his premise was that the alphabet is pretty much a masculine energy and brought in the patriarchy, and images are more feminine. And so I thought this increase of using imagery to communicate with Instagram, God knows all the social media, et cetera, is actually a sign that the feminine is coming more and more into her rightful place as equal to the masculine. And that's, I think, one of the beauties of having this time when there's so much that's bringing us to another level of being on this planet.
Yeah, and this, we are doing a cosmic perspective here. I'm talking with Mary Lynn LeBlanc, KSFR's resident astrologer, and Heather Roan Robbins, the longtime astrologer for Positempo magazine. She's on the phone from Minneapolis. So what else, you guys? Are the Kardashians going to continue to have a huge following? Is Hillary going to run? Will Ebola be contained? Go ahead.
We'll tell you, Ebola being contained. I think another cycle that we're bringing up here, and we keep taking it up to big picture, and you're taking it to ask us more specifics. Saturn squaring Neptune, I think a lot of the illusion, the desire, Saturn squaring Neptune can also ask us to curtail our addictions and to put some, or to find that our addictions have problems and give us limitations. And that could be, you know, people needing to deal with alcohol or drug abuse this year and finding that they really have to tend to the problems that they've been able to brush under the carpet before. But America's also addicted to the Kardashians and to other forms of escapism, and it may just not work for them this year. We might find that the heat is out of that desire to escape in that way, and we find that they want to have the better life themselves rather than to watch someone else have a good life.
You know, Sagittarius, where Saturn is right now, is a sign that really can go into extremes, you know, just get over inflated. And the beauty of having Saturn there is that it will compress that inflation. And so when it comes to overindulgence, I'm thinking especially overindulgence in sex. I mean, you know, people who have
Sex addiction problems.
The Saturn is going to help them see that more clearly and how it's controlling their lives and perhaps make changes that they personally need to be changed.
What else?
I'm not so sure about that, because Venus and Mars, and I'm hoping that would be useful, but Venus and Mars run conjunct almost the entire year. They get a little apart and they move back together. Mm-hmm. They're running around the same signs for quite a while. And that it brings, you know, it could be a year of romance and passion and excitement on many things, especially through the spring, where meeting new people quickly, relationships conflagrate very quickly, and they also release very quickly. Fast triage, you know, are you in, you're out.
Fast triage, I love that.
Yeah, but, you know, you jumped to the point, though, that they're necessarily sexual, but, there's the other side of that relationship thing where one can really have many opportunities to look at how you jump into relationships, how you jump into sexual ones, how you jump into other ones, and out of them again. It's a mirror that yes, there will be the opportunities to consider.
Wow, I want to hear more good positive stuff. personal transformation this year? What's it? I mean, you know,
all of this
you were
is
talking about spirituality and people delving more into their spirituality versus religion and dogma. But what else is on the horizon for the individual?
And I wanted to say also, back to that, what we see with the Pope is that some religion and dogma is being re-inspired. It can go both ways.
Right.
And that we just have to find a way that discipline and spirituality actually feed one another rather than see them as odds.
And, you know, the planetoid Chiron, which is the centaur, which represents a split, and how do you integrate that split, is in Pisces as well. It's already into a new cycle with Neptune. It's moving away from it. But that also is bringing up the issues that, the conundrums that we have with even spirituality and religion, in terms of how is it that people who say they're extremely religious can kill other people. Those kinds of major kinds of issues that all of us, you know, have to consider at some point in our lives.
We got a little bit of time here to wrap up. Any final notes on what's going to happen in 2015?
I think the next few weeks are about networking and creating connection with Mercury and Venus in Aquarius. So I would say get your teams and allies together now. Then there's a time when we need to, early February, emotional, sensitive, have a personal life, and make it safe to be open with one another. High action during the end of February, March, and April, a lot of change in a short period of time. Know where you want to go. Keep your important values clearly as a lighthouse to guide you across that path. Then move into a more communicative time this summer when Saturn goes back, a chance to go back and do some old emotional homework and tie up loose ends when Saturn goes back into Scorpio over the summer.
Okay, Heather, let me stop you right there because we just got about 1 minute. Mary Lynn, what do you got to say?
Well, listen to your inner voice, follow your intuition, and get rid of the stuff that no longer works.
Excellent. Well, I just want to say thank you both. Thanks, Mary Lynn, for coming in. This is her day off from the station, actually, and she came in anyway. And Heather, it's been great to have you on the show.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thanks, Hollis.